Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and Silver Star Widows and Veterans Programs. And I am happy to be with you this morning. The last couple of Saturdays, I've been out taking care of some family funerals and taking care of some family issues and things like that going on in the community. So it's nice to be back and talking with you this morning about our Northern California Veterans Museum and all of the wonderful things that are going on in our community through the programs. And to give you some updates on some other things, I have a great veteran that's going to be here with me this morning, and his name is Ben Fuller, and we'll be talking with him in one of the next two segments here, and he will be our guest throughout the program. And I just want to let we've got all this COVID stuff going on. It seems like people are hiding in their houses again, afraid to go out in masks. We at the Northern California Veterans Museum are running 12-hour shifts every single day, volunteering, taking care of things in our community, and taking care of our veterans, working on different displays and things that are taken on. We are using this opportunity to continue to move forward to make things happen as we go. So we're still working with our hydrologist and our water experts on the property up on top of the Northern California, the hill there at on top of Ronda Road. We call it the Northern California Veterans Museum Hill because as we move forward and we're able to finally get the permit to break ground, that's going to be the icon in the valley for our veterans and for our Northern California area. And we're excited about it because it's happening every day. It's slowly moving forward. Some days it's baby steps. Sometimes it's giant leaps, but it is moving forward. And we are very happy to continue to make this happen as we go. Even though all these COVID things are going on, seem to be taking away, I want to encourage you during this time frame when it seems like you listen to everybody else on the radio and everything is doom and everything is gloom, I want to encourage you to keep your chins up, to keep your eyes on the horizon. And even though it seems some days that the world is upside down and backwards and everything else, you know, I serve a risen Savior. Okay, so when I think about all these things going on, I just think, okay, the Bible says to be absent from this world is to be present with the Lord. So when we were in combat, and it's a mindset that you have to have, is that when you're in combat and you just have to give up your life, okay? You can't do your job if you're thinking about dying every day. You can't take care of your men if you're worried about yourself. You can't do the things you need to do if you're so worried about not being able to make it back that you're worthless, you're no good. And so you come to a point in your life and you decide, okay, either I'm going to live or I'm going to die, but thinking about it's only going to get me killed. So let me do my job. Let me do it with the men that I serve with. Let me do it to the best of my ability and keep moving forward. Because if you're focused and you're self-disciplined and you're thinking about what your mission is that you have to accomplish, you're not worried about all this other stuff that's going on. And I think that in our daily lives, as we look at the news or you don't look at the news or you hear people talk and you hear doom and gloom, death here, sickness is there, whatever else. You know, if you're here in Northern California, our numbers are very, very slim to begin with. But the biggest thing is a lot of it's common sense. But the other thing is when you're stuck in your home and that's all you hear is the negativity, it can be wearing on you. It can tear you down. It can make you be depressed. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, you need to get up early in the morning and just go for a walk outside and look around at the beauty that we have here in our Northern California, God's creation, our mountains, our trees, the blue skies, and focus on our positive things that are in our lives instead of all this negativity that's around us. Because, you know, we're all going to die someday no matter what. And after seeing people lose their lives in Iraq and everything else, and knowing that I should have died on multiple occasions, when the Lord is going to call your number, you're going to go. That's the bottom line. When your number's called, you're going to go. In the meantime, you're here for a reason. You need to step up to the plate and be a positive benefactor. Either you're part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And I believe that if you're here in Northern California, you have a great opportunity to be part of the solution, to support this community as we move forward, to support your neighbors as we move forward, to support your church or your local event, whatever's going on. I know a lot of people aren't moving around anymore because of what's going on, but we have to put more faith in our Creator. We have to put more faith in our God. Because what else is there? Where else does your hope come from? I'll tell you what, your hope's not going to come from these atheists and everything else that's out there. It's not going to come from listening to the nightly news or watching Facebook, whatever else. Your faith is not going to come from there. I learned in Iraq that I had to put my faith in the good Lord every single day and just say, okay, we've got a 150-mile mission today in enemy territory, and I'm going to do my best, and hopefully the good Lord guides my footsteps, gives me the wisdom to make the right decisions, and tonight, when we finally make it back, we'll still be alive. And that's, you know, in a lot of aspects, in a lot of sense, that's what I do here at home now every day. I wake up in the morning and I go, okay, I'm still alive. That means I have other things that I need to accomplish in my life, things that still need to move forward, things that still need to be taken care of, whether it's at home, whether it's in my community with my friends, or whether it's with the organization, with the Veterans Museum, honoring those who serve and sacrifice our nation, or taking care of our younger veterans coming back with issues with food or family, or taking care of our senior veterans that are in need and helping them and being able to help them at home, whether they're widows or senior veterans that need an assistant or something like that. And we're involved. We're making a difference in people's lives every day, even though this COVID nonsense is out there. And I say nonsense not because I don't believe it, but because there's so much hype that goes along with it. And I honestly believe that we in our community, even though there's all these different things that are happening and taking place and seem to take away from our lives on a daily basis, that we can stand strong and we can be encouraged, and we need to move forward every single day as if tomorrow doesn't matter. Because in reality, the Bible says live one day at a time, and that's all we have is one day at a time. And so we live for today. We do the best we can. Tomorrow's another day. And we worry about tomorrow tomorrow. And in the same time, you safeguard yourself. You stay healthy. You use common sense. If you don't have to go out, so don't go out. If you are out of a job, then one of my suggestions is you know, the good Lord takes care of all of us. So my suggestion is that you get on your knees and say, okay, help us out. What do you need to do to pay our bills? What do we need to do to bring the income in? If we put our faith in the good Lord as we move forward in our lives and we trust in him to take care of us. You know, one of the scriptures says he takes care of the sparrows every day. They go out and they eat the seeds in the fields and everything else. They don't have any food stored up, whatever else, and God takes care of them. How much more is he going to take care of us? Because we need, as humans, we have a lot of needs. We ought to be clothed. There has to be food. There has to be food or money to be able to take care of our bills and things like that. But we also have to be able to stay within our means and not overdo our means. But as we put our faith back in God and be able to move forward in our lives. And you know what? Sometimes being a Christian is the most struggling thing that's out there because the devil, Satan's out there pushing against us every single day to make us falter, to make us look in other directions, to take our eyes off of God who gives us our faith and our encouragement in our lives and throughout our families and our businesses and things like that. And it's tough. The days are tough. But, you know, we have a Savior that's stronger than that. And he continues to give us that motivation. He continues to give us the opportunity to follow the promises that he stated on his word. And so I just want to encourage you as we go into our program, we talk about our country and our nation and our God, that you are encouraged to keep your chin up and to think about the positive things in our lives and not the negative things, because that's what's going to get us through on a daily basis. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR. You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our boots ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. Fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and it's a beautiful morning out there. What a great opportunity it is for us to speak this morning on the radio and talk about our veterans and the service and the sacrifice and letters from home. I can remember being in Kuwait, and it's 120 degrees outside, and the wind's blowing, the sand. We were in old GPs, which are general-purpose tents. Yeah, 20-man GPs, and they were left over Vietnam. We were using them in Kuwait, and the wind would blow, and the sun would shine down through the little holes that were in the tent. Yeah, I mean, these tents were, like I said, they're Vietnam era in 2003 when we were in Kuwait. And the wind would blow, and as the wind blew, the tent would blow up and down. It was like on the inside of a dragon, the breathing. The tent would expand and contract, and the wind would flap it and blow it all over the place. And as the sun shined down through these little, because we were sleeping during the mornings because we'd been up all night on watch. And as the sun was shining through those little holes in the top of the tent, they would get bigger and bigger as they got to the floor, and they were like laser beams in different places. You could see the light. And the sand was so heavy in the air that as it blew through the tent, you could see the waves of the sand and the silt in the air blow or shine through these little laser lights coming down from the ceiling. And it was surreal that here you were in a combat zone, and the wind's blowing, and the sand's in your tent. I mean, we had sand in places you never thought you could get sand. And you're breathing all this stuff, but as the tent was expanding and contracting, and all these little laser lights were coming down, you were in a different world, and you could hear the helicopters outside, and you could hear the jets, and in the distance you could hear the explosions. But you'd been on watch all night long, and you're just trying to sleep, and it's over 100 degrees outside, and you're just laying there in your sweat, and just trying to get some rest before you go back on watch again. And so you would get a letter, and if you couldn't sleep, you'd read it once, twice. You'd read the same letter a dozen times. And so letters from home are so important. Whether they're from family members, or whether they're from friends, or whether from a stranger that just says, thank you for your service, we're praying for you back at home, well, make sure that you know that you're not alone. How important it is for us to be able to encourage our men and women who serve our country. And that's our Homeward Bound program. That's part of what we do by sending boxes overseas and shipping letters and things like that of encouragement overseas to our military men and women who are serving around our nation and around our country and around the world, to let them know that even though it seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we support you. We're praying for you. We want you to know you're not alone. You're not out there doing this for nothing, because we appreciate what you're doing. And I completely understand that after living in the sand for so long and having to clean your weapon all the time because it's full of dirt, just to clean your person because it's full of dirt. And pretty soon you just learn to accept. I broke four molars while I was in Iraq from chewing sand and being under stress and everything else. And so combat just doesn't take a toll on your outside. It takes a toll on your inside, your body parts and your teeth and your eyes and everything else. You come back broken in many different ways, not just on the outside. That's why you're working with our veterans with PTSD is so important, because there's so many other issues that come back between the combat tempo of being out in the operations every single day for 20 hours, sometimes 30 hours at a time. Believe me, you put in a couple of 30-hour days, you don't forget them. And they wear you out. And they, sometimes those missions that were 30 hours long, they never go away. And so you deal with those in your life. And one of the biggest problems veterans have coming back from the war zone or from a operational tempo where they've worked many hours serving together is that separation anxiety away from their buddies, male or female. And when you're serving out there, around the world, you're depending on those teammates to cover your six, to cover your backside, to cover your back while you're looking forward, to cover their back while they're moving forward and you're looking backward. And when you get home and that team member's not there covering your six, or do you come back from a mission and they're not there to talk to you, it can make it tough. And sometimes it's easy to talk with family. Sometimes it's very difficult to talk with family. And because they have a hard time understanding where you've been and what you've experienced. And so Sometimes it's really good to find another veteran that you can talk to, that you can express yourself to. That's not going to say derogatory things to you. And one of the biggest reasons veterans don't talk to people is because people turn around and stick their finger in their face and say, why did you do that? You're a baby killer. Why did you do this? Or whatever else. You know, when you're talking to another veteran, they don't ask. They just know. I mean, they don't have to be in combat. I don't have to be with a combat veteran. I can just be with another veteran that served in the Navy or in the Marine Corps or even in the Army. We all went through a certain boot camp. We all wore a different type of uniform. We all had to have certain discipline. We all had to march a certain way. We all had to have pull certain watches. We all had to do certain duties. Some were more difficult and strenuous than others. Some were not. But there's a like-mindedness there that you served your country one way or the other. You put that uniform on. You're patriotic enough to step forward and say, I love my country enough to where I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to serve this country. You know, I hear people say, well, only poor people go in the military because they don't have any jobs. You know what I want to say to that? I'm going to tell you that the military is a volunteer military. You choose to go in or you choose not to, but when you sign on the dotted line, that's your choice. Nobody has a gun to your head. You're not being drafted. Nobody's forcing you to do that. I had a female Air Force person chew me out one day because only poor people go in the military. I said, really? Who was holding a gun to your head when you signed on the dotted line? Well, I wasn't poor. Well, why are you going down this road? If you served in your Air Force, then be proud that you served in the Air Force and get off this pity party thing. Look, if you're going to serve, you serve. And if you don't serve, you don't serve. But man up or woman up and toe the line. And so it's like, you know, if you're going to sign the line to serve in the military, you step forward and you serve. You don't bellyache. You don't raise the timeout card. You don't fake an injury so you can get out. Otherwise, you shouldn't have never been there to begin with. And so, you know, we've got a lot of men and women that are serving our nation right now. I say a lot that the men and women serving our nation right now are less than 0.6% of our national population serves the nation for all of us and including the world. And so, once again, I just want to say thank you to our veterans who have served and thank you to our young men and women and our older veterans that are serving right now. And thank you for those who are going to serve, the young men and women in our communities that are looking at joining the military. They're going to make that decision. They're going to step forward because as you can look around and see all of the people that are out there, the young people who have zero direction because nobody ever guided them in the right direction to get some self-discipline, to learn something, to have a skill, to have appreciation, to know and understand what freedom is all about. And they're throwing it to the wind, and they're burning it to the ground because they have no idea about what it takes for us to be able to have the freedom that we have every single day. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I know some people don't like it, but if you have not worn the uniform of the United States military, you're a welfare recipient of freedom. You have freedom because somebody else is paying the bill. Somebody else has paid the price for you to have that freedom. And I don't say that as a guilt trip. What I say it as is appreciate it. Understand it. Say thank you. Because somebody else has already paid that bill. And some young man or some young woman tomorrow is going to pay it tomorrow for me because I'm not in there any longer. I did my 23 years. And that's why it's so important for us. And I think I'm still going here by talking on the radio because I think it's still important for us to continue the mission here at home to encourage people, to encourage our young people, to give them some insight and direction. Because right now it just seems like there's nothing. What is there to live for tomorrow? Because they don't see a future. But we do have that hope. And it's important for us to continue to move forward and encourage our young people to do things that help our community and to help us continue to have the freedom we have. If we don't do it, it's not going to be here. It's only one generation at a time. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings every Wednesday at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
15 winners, $100 free slot play.
5 winners, $500 cash.
Don't miss your chance to win your share of $10,000 and other great prizes. Details at WindRiver.com.
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win.
You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not then, where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do? If not me, Mama. If not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum, and thank you for being here with us this morning. Now, I have a wonderful guest that's here with me, and his name is Ben Fuller. He's a United States Navy veteran. Are you were you an OIF veteran?
Yeah.
So what were your time frames when you were in the Navy?
95 to 99.
95 to 99. Okay, so Ben is here this morning. He's a Navy veteran. He has a business here in our community, and he was a Tomcat mechanic, F-14 Tomcat, you know, Top Gun movie. You know, it's really hot to watch those planes fly and everything else, and the pilots and everything, but they never show the unsung heroes, and that's the ground crew, because the aircraft doesn't leave the ground unless they give them a thumbs up. And you were one of those team members that helped make that happen. Ben, thank you for being here this morning. Let's talk a little bit about your career and about why you joined the Navy and about your business a little bit here in the community and what you're doing.
Outstanding. First off, I just want to thank you for everything that you do in the community. It's amazing. I've gotten the chance to meet you a few times and, you know, and be able to see firsthand, you know, what we have and what we do. And without guys like you, we wouldn't have any of this, and we wouldn't have the ability to see it, because when you see it with your eyes, it's completely different than reading about it or watching it on TV, because you really get to see the size of things, and the size of things got me seeing that ambulances from the Vietnam era and the World War II era, and how small they were and how compact and just metal and that was the last thing that so many of our men and women saw. And to just get that, it makes you emotional just talking about
sure.
it, you know. And
you're in good company here, buddy.
Yeah. You know, it's when you get to see those things, then you really appreciate it. So I truly want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you do.
Thank you.
Yeah. 95 to 99. Went to boot camp like everybody else, had no clue. Whole family's been in the Navy, and I didn't have a dang clue what to do when I got there. You know, they said get an A school. And I think I told you when we were talking, it's like
that's mandatory. You got to have A school no matter what.
Right.
So it's like,
well, you know, it's like, but after about 3 months in the Navy, I was like, man, I would have so much more advice for somebody, you know. And I got family members that have been in the Navy forever, and that was what they told me, get an A school. So, I went to boot camp, in Chicago, and then I went to A school in Memphis, Tennessee, in Millington, small base, but amazing place. Sad to see what that area has turned into. It's not what it used to be.
Right. Is there any place in our nation that's what
no,
it used to be?
No.
I mean, everything's changed.
Yeah. In my lifetime, I feel like, we are definitely going in the wrong direction, but it's not too late for that. And then, in A school, you get to, you know, after about halfway through, orders come out, and then you get to pick, you know, in where you are in your class. You know, so if you're first in your class, you get first set of orders. And, you know, the orders all came in, and I wanted to be as far away from California as I could. And Virginia popped up, Virginia Beach, Oceana, F-14s, and that seemed pretty far away. I had no idea really where it was. You know, it's funny. You
how
go
old
through
were you
school.
At that time?
I was 18 years old. Yeah. I felt like I was a little older 18 than most, especially after being in boot camp. You see, some of those kids have never been anywhere.
Right.
You know, and I was thinking back, that was my first plane flight, you know, was from Oakland. I took a bus from here to Oakland, and then, I mean, got dropped off in Oakland, you know, and all I knew of Oakland was what I had heard about in like NWA, you know, songs and stuff like that. So I wasn't scared, but I was like, man, this is eye opening. They just drop you off, and then you walk from the bus station to MEPS, and then you do your thing there, and then they put you on a plane and they fly you to Chicago, which is insane. I mean, it's the biggest airport in the world, really.
Chicago O'Hara.
Yeah. And so there you are. They just drop you off, and then you go from there. You get on a bus, and then they take you to boot camp, and then, you know, it's just crazy from there, you know. So, but I got to choose my orders in F-14s. And looking back, it's like, yeah, of course you pick F-14s. But in that situation, I wasn't picking aircraft. I was picking an area, you
right.
know. And so, and then, you know, you go to a quick little school after that, and then you get to your squadron, and then you get to see it. And when you go out on that flight line, and you see 14 F-14s lined up in a row, and then you see 14 of another squadron's F-14s lined up in a row, and it's one after another after another after another. You're not at, you know, Anderson Little Airport anymore where you see like three Cessnas. You're in the middle of it. You know, this is
– it doesn't get any better
than that. It doesn't get any better.
So when I went to school at Point Magoo – Southern California. Magoo was a test station for radar and for missiles and rockets and stuff they shoot out over the ocean there. And I went to instructor school there, a Navy instructor school. And we would go out. I went over and talked to one of the guys at the hangar, and the chief let me go out there and walk through the hangar. And they had multiple F-14s and F-4 Phantoms out there because they use the F-4 Phantom platform for the Doppler radar in the nose for upgrades and things like that.
Right.
And then so to be able to go out there and walk around those aircraft – And that was, I'm a CB, so we're dirt sailors. So I never get a chance to go around ships or aircraft. So it was just that opportunity for me was fantastic because I'm a pilot on the outside.
Right.
And so to actually be around something like that, I mean, like you said, the size, the background behind it, to listen to them scream off the runway.
Incredible.
Yeah, it is.
It's incredible.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. And the best part is, you know, we, our apartment off, you know, off the base, cause the base was smaller, so at Oceana. So we, most of us got to live off base. You would wake up to that, you know, every morning, excuse me, these jet jets banking, you know, and just coming through cause you live close to the base cause you're poor and you can't, you really can't travel very far, you know, so.
Well, even if you're an E5, you could be poor in the Navy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but just, to wake up, it brought a smile to my face, you know, every day. I had no idea, you know, and even to this day, you know, with these F-18s, every once in a while will come, you know, and I'll be in the worst mood and it just like instantly brings a smile to my face.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's freedom, right?
Right.
I mean, that is
the sound of freedom.
There's exactly nobody can touch it. You know, we slowly give other countries our old jets with, you know, a quarter of the technology with none of the weapons, you know,
right.
And we're like, here you go, you know, and so, but it's not, you know, it's nothing like what we have. When you see what we have, it's a calming because you understand that nobody can touch us.
When I'm out, because we live out in Cottonwood also, or in Anderson there, and they fly directly over our house or the museum building there, we'll have a CH-46, which is the twin helicopter blades coming over, or
right.
We'll have a Cobra come through, or we'll have a Black Hawk coming through, and I can hear them coming off, the pop, 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 yeah. Right in the distance, yeah. Talking. And instantly it just takes me back to Fallujah because where our barracks were and everything, we were right next to Fallujah Surgical. The 46s would come in, the Cobra would come in behind it for the air support, and they'd offload there at Fallujah Medical, at the surgical hospital there. But those sounds that you hear, they instantly take you back. Sometimes it's a good sound. Sometimes it takes you, it all depends upon your mood, your feeling. I mean, on a hot day, when I hear those choppers, it's just like being back in the desert again.
Right.
And so, yes, I completely understand about that relationship between sound and smell and your service or your PTSD that's connected to that.
Absolutely. You know, and that's where, like you were saying earlier, being able to talk to a veteran, you know, we can have those conversations, and I can 100% listen to everything you have to say. But I was never put in those situations. But I can sympathize and I can understand, you know, where I could have been put in those situations. So the best thing you can really do is just listen to somebody speak, you know, and that's, you know, and that's the best thing you can do for anyone.
Well, I think that's, there's a lot to that. There's, when you're talking to a civilian sometimes about your military career and you're trying to make a point and they just kind of cut you off, it's like, why even talk?
Exactly.
Why even have a conversation here? Because as soon as you start to come from your heart and from the experiences that you had and somebody cuts you off or they say, like they understand. And then, I mean, they're just blowing you off in a different direction.
Right.
And anymore, I take a look at those different conversations and things like that. And I only put out so much information.
Right.
And if it's received properly, then I'll continue. If it's not received, I just go to a different direction or I just stop talking. Because if I have something to say, it's coming from my heart. If I talk to you about my service, wherever it may have come from, it's coming from deeper than my heart. It's coming from my soul.
Absolutely.
And so because that's how deep it's ingrained with that sacrifice and the service and those the guys that I put in body bags, okay, those moments are all wrapped up together. They're not separated. It's a blender. And so I know that you have certain experiences like that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're getting ready to come up on a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My guest this morning is Ben Fuller. We'll be right back.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
And it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his life. Mr. Red, White,
good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and my guest this morning is Ben Fuller, United States Navy veteran, and he is a Tomcat F-14, I almost said pilot, but you're a crew member. You're part of the team, the crew member for repairing the aircraft and keeping, you were the reason that they flew. I understand there's a lot of different maintenance issues that were with that aircraft, and they took a lot of maintenance to be able to keep them in the air.
Oh, tons.
One of our biggest fighter platforms that we had, I believe, went in service in 1974 and flew right up to 2006, was toward the end. It was 3 decades of service to our nation, to the United States Navy, all around the world. It's an icon. It's the aircraft that was used in Top Gun, which made it, you know, very famous to the public at that time, because the public didn't know a whole lot about that aircraft. I think it was like 1982 when Top Gun came out, or 83.
Right.
And so it became an instant hit with people, as that has the expandable wings that fold out, fold in, depending upon the speed that it's going, at what Mach they automatically come out, don't they, at a certain Mach?
Yep.
And so, So Ben's here this morning. He's going to tell us a little bit more about the F-14 and his service on the aircraft carrier and his service to our country and why it's so important to him.
Yeah, the jet required an ungodly amount of man hours, the inspections that were required, just simply because of the way that the jet was set up. They took a Phoenix missile and they designed a jet around it. With the expandable wings came a lot of, you know, moving parts that weren't necessarily strong enough, you know, to withstand, you know, what this jet had. I mean, you take two F-16 motors and put it on one jet, you know, so you got these engines are insanely huge and insanely powerful.
And that was Grumman Northrop, right?
Yep. Yep. And, yeah, you put these, you put these in this jet that have, you know, expandable wings, like you were saying. You got, I mean, everything moves on these. And I mean, just so much raw power. I mean, it was definitely, you know, the charger, you know, of the military. It's a, you know, it's like 440, you know, you
right.
know, it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's just too much. So the amount of man hours it took for every one flight hour was pretty insane. So I actually got to be in the era where, when I got to my squadron, we had A's, and then a lot of them were going to B's and then D's, the Deltas. And so the Deltas were the last. And when I left, we went to Deltas. They were an upgraded version of the F-14. Still the same plane, just, you know, just some different, modifications and stuff to it. But, and then, you know, after a couple years after I was out, that's when they finally decommissioned them. But, yeah, I was lucky enough to go to Top Gun twice in Fallon, Nevada. It was
awesome.
No longer in San Diego.
Right, right.
And
my brother was in San Diego, Miramar, okay. when he was yeah. on the F-4 Phantoms during Vietnam.
Much cooler place to have it than Fallon, Nevada, you know. But, yeah, you know, it was – when I first got to Top Gun, I had only been in the Navy for, you know, like 9-10 months, something like that. And so they came in asking for volunteers and, you know, automatically everybody points at you, you know, cause you're brand new. And so I got loaded. I mean, this is a kind of a long story, but I'll shorten it up, but I got loaded up in a bus and they took us out into the middle of the desert and dropped us off and, in these plywood buildings that was supposed to simulate like an embassy situation. And then these helicopters came in and I'm sorry. I have no idea what kind of helicopters they were. But they came in and, the SEALs rappelled down or however they is that they do their thing. But they came in, cleared the area, loaded us up in these helicopters and then flew us out like 5 feet off the ground as fast as they would possibly go, you know, and I got put on a 50 cal and was able to shoot, you know, into the dirt and everything. It was pretty cool, but that was definitely
one
of
the, awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It was like, you know, especially somebody in the Airedale field, you know, it was like, I felt like I, you know, so I got back and told everybody what I got to do. And then, you know,
yeah.
so of course,
yeah,
then
we should have volunteered.
Right. So yeah, you never know what you're volunteering for in the
right.
Navy, but
ever.
You know, yeah, that was a cool thing, but we actually flew around Sand Mountain, which was interesting because it just looked like God just dropped off this beautiful pile of sand in the middle of hell, you know, basically, you know, and so, but that was cool. That was cool.
So then what, did you use that as an advanced school when you were at Fallon for working on the F-14s or?
No. So what we did was, the pilots would go out and they would basically dogfight. They would, you know, F-18 squadrons would be there also. We had some Israeli pilots would come in and, we would also, they would dogfight against them. So they went up and actually absolutely just maxed out the plane.
Was that like a red flag deal or?
Where they
go out and they do war games with other
basically
countries.
Just like the movie Top Gun, to be honest with you. They would go out and I mean that's what they did. They would go back and forth and you know and honestly we just destroyed the F-18s every time we went out. The F-14 was a far superior jet to the F-18 in every way except for man hours and cost. You know the cost of applied to that jet was just insane. So that was the only reason they decommissioned them instead of building more.
So what was the gross weight on that aircraft?
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
No. Okay. So what I was wondering was is that every time it came in and hit the arresting cable that landed, I mean, you see that gear just collapse.
Oh yeah.
And then come down and then it gets raked back by the arresting gear and that tail hook. That has to jar apart parts.
Yeah.
It has to break parts.
Yeah.
It has to – I mean, you throw anything on the ground and
right.
pick it up, something's broken or bent.
Absolutely.
And then you do that with a – okay, so let's just say a 20-ton jet. right. slamming it on an aircraft deck.
Well, and when they come in, they hit burner as soon as they land.
Right.
You know, so
they
burn in case they got to fly off. You know, you don't want to end up on the other side in the water.
Right.
You know, so they come in and they hit that thing and they hit burner. They land correctly. It's nice and smooth, and then they shut it down. We had another one come in because there's three wires. Miss, you know, the first
cables.
Or second one. Yeah. Then they can. So a pilot thought he missed all three, pulled up in burner, but actually grabbed the third one. And I mean, it was like a cartoon. I mean, like it was going, I mean, he was, you know, 50 feet off the deck, slammed.
Hooked,
oh yeah.
To the cable.
And slammed on the deck and shot both of the main mounts through, you know, so.
Did that destroy the aircraft?
Destroyed it. Yeah. And it was good for parts still. So we put it down in the hangar bay, and then it became a hangar bay queen for the whole rest of the cruise. I mean,
right.
You know, but you know, that stuff happens, you know? And so, and yeah, working on the flight deck was a trip too, because you'd be out there and then you'd get word that, you know, VF-101 of the RAG squadron. So these pilots that are training are going to come out, either do touchdowns where they don't drop their hook, they just touch, or they actually land. When they actually land, that's when you get off deck, because these guys coming in, swooping side, just like, they're not even going to hit the ship, you know.
Rookie pilots.
Oh yeah. It was, I just, how scared they had to be. You know, I actually did, a show on Discovery. He said, if you want to know what it's like, Tina, put a postage stamp in the middle of your living room, run around, jump out, and land on it with your nose. I mean,
at mock speed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming in at 200, they fly at 100 knots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to have.
No, it'll fall out of the
That's
sky.
Right.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah.
And so when one of the things I started learning to fly, my instructor, we were flying and we'd be, and one said, there's the number directly below you.
Right.
And so you slam the rudder and you pull on and turn it, and the aircraft drops, literally
right.
drops out of the air and on the numbers.
Right.
At 79, you pull back and land on it. And he goes,
yeah.
That's a carrier landing.
Right.
Older knots, when I do it at 250, but
yeah.
still dropping out of 500 feet down to those numbers.
It's incredible.
And you know, the aircraft's moving through the air. I mean, you're falling at a pretty good rate.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
if you don't pull out and put it on the numbers at a certain, you're just going to mush it in.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I mean, it really develops your skills to be able to – easy flight is easy flight, but if you have to put it down in a hurry, there it is.
And I would say the biggest, myth or whatever that Top Gun produced is there's not – those pilots aren't, you know, they're not like Maverick, and they're not – they're extremely intelligent, kind of dorky that are, you know, I mean – you know, they know what's up. But the thing that always amazed was, as smart as they are, you know, getting these planes that these 18-year-old kids like me, you know, took a 3-month class and then started working on these things, you know. And I can't work on them in the civilian world. You need an AMP license, you need experience, you need everything. But in the middle, 18-year-old kid, I'm fixing your jet, you know.
Well, that's what crew chief
yeah.
stuff, yeah, to be able, you know, there's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's not a lot of old, bold pilots. And so, you know, I mean, it's is the better part of valor.
Absolutely.
And so it's so important, you know, you just don't go out there and do it. You mean, you check your aircraft, you check yourself, you make sure crew leader, you make sure that you're confident in you.
Yeah.
I mean, effort from the pilot all the way down to the lowest crew member, because the lowest crew member can affect everything that goes on with that pilot in his day.
Absolutely, yep.
And
yep.
so that's what I was saying about you and your team are the unsung heroes. The pilot gets the credit, the aircraft gets the credit, but the hard labor.
Oh, and tons of it.
And so and you're held accountable for every nut and bolt. You're held accountable for every cracked piece of equipment or hinge or whatever else gets broken process or the torque process. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions this morning. Our guest is States Navy Air Wing. We'll be right back.
On a park bench sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of rough. I said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first of our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The coronavirus is showing no signs of fading, with Johns Hopkins University's tally showing more than 15.7 million confirmed cases worldwide, 640,000 deaths.
The U.S. has had the most cases since the start of the pandemic, with more than 4.1 million confirmed, followed by Brazil at nearly 2.3 million and India with more than 1.3 million. For the first time in 4 months, South Korea has reported more than 100 new coronavirus cases, many of which came from outside sources, including 36 workers returning from Iraq and 32 crew members of a Russian freighter. South Africa, Africa's hardest hit country, reported more than 13,000 new confirmed cases, raising its total to over 408,000. In Australia, Victoria's State Premier Daniel Andrews announced 357 new cases.
I'm very sad to have to report a further 5 Victorians have passed away.
Victoria, where the death toll has risen to 61, earlier closed its border with neighbouring New South Wales. I'm Karen Chamas.
The additional unemployment payments that were part of the CARES Act come to an end today. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden says it means hardship for many families.
They're telling their kids, hey, you probably have to eat a little bit less because the unemployment is ending.
But Republican Senator John Barrasso notes the additional $600 per week could prove to be an ongoing disincentive for many job seekers.
Most recipients are paid more for not working than they would make if they actually were on the job working.
And something that he and other Republicans say puts a damper on the economy. Vice President Mike Pence kept up the administration's push for reopening schools in the fall yesterday. As he spoke in Indiana at Marion University, he says that for young children, the risks of coronavirus are not that great and they need to be back in school. More from townhall.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I tried it all. The lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash-out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Congressional watchdogs are questioning the government's decision to award a $700 million coronavirus relief loan to a struggling trucking company on the grounds its operations are critical for national security.
YRC Worldwide provides transportation and logistics services such as delivering food, electronics, and other supplies to military locations around the country. The Defense Department sued YRC in 2018 for overcharging the government for freight carrier services and making false statements. The Congressional Oversight Commission said in a report the taxpayers appear to be at risk of losing money on the investment.
As correspondent Jeremy House, federal immigration officials now say foreign students will be barred from entering the U.S. if they plan to take their classes entirely online this fall. Students already in the U.S. or those returning from abroad will still be allowed to take all their classes online. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A Kentucky teen and the Washington Post have settled a lawsuit over the newspaper's coverage of his encounter with a Native American man. We get more details from Keith Peters.
The incident happened while Nicholas Sandman was at the 2019 March for Life rally in Washington. According to his lawyer, Todd McMurtry, Nicholas Sandman agreed to settle with the Post because the Post was quick to publish the whole truth through its follow-up coverage and editor's notes. Nicholas Sandman sued the newspaper for $250 million, alleging that it had engaged in targeting and bullying and modern McCarthyism.
That is Keith Peters reporting. The Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Friday had some good news for President Trump. 49% of likely U.S. voters say they approve of the president's job performance. 49% also disapprove, but overall it puts President Trump ahead of where President Obama was at this point in his first term. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost, wake me up when September ends.
Good morning again. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm Rob Burrows, your host this morning, and our guest is Ben Fuller, United States Navy Air Wing, F-14 Tomcat mechanic and aviation specialist. And so we've been talking about the F-14 and the service. We talked a little bit about the weight of the aircraft earlier when it landed, and obviously we're trying to pull some numbers out. 40,000 pounds or 20 tons is the weight of that aircraft. And then you add fuel, and you add ordnance, and you add a pilot, and bullets, whatever the rounds are, the 20-millimeter, I think. So you basically you're landing a semi-truck on the aircraft at 250 miles an hour. Just figured that's what it is. It's a loaded semi-truck landing on the deck at 250 knots. And so that's a lot of weight. That aircraft is a large aircraft. People don't realize how big that aircraft actually is.
Yeah, very big.
And it's very, very impressive. Hey, you know, we were talking about relatives. We're talking about those who in our families who served in the heritage. And one of the reasons that I joined the Navy, one of the reasons you joined the Navy. Tell us a little bit about your family and some of those experiences.
My grandfather was a bugler in the Navy. He died when I was young, so I didn't get to talk to him much. And then my aunt was in the Navy, my Aunt Sherry, and then my Uncle Tori was in the Navy, and then my Uncle Dennis was in the Navy. So my grandfather, my other grandfather, was in the Army, and, you know, never really got to talk to him much either. But my wife's grandfather, Robert Marks, he was in Pearl Harbor when it was attacked, and he was an electrician on one of the ships that were there, and he actually was out when it got, they had pulled out, and so they weren't there.
Oh, so they were out of the harbor.
They were, yeah, and so thank God, you know, and so, which, you know, the closest we can get to that is just watching the movie, and when you watch the movie and you just realize, like, how few movies are, you know, were done correctly or were done right, and it doesn't even touch on what it was really like to
be
there.
Oh yeah, the experience.
But when you watch that movie, you know, Saving Private Ryan's another one. That was the only time on a carrier being in a berthing where the entire berthing was dead quiet. Saving Private Ryan came out when I was in, and we were out at sea for 6 months, and they sent us a viewing of it, and not a word. I mean, and it, I don't know if you remember, like, you know, guys playing spades, playing everything else, like, you know, trying to sleep, trying to whatever. It was so loud all the time, and not a word from anybody from the beginning of that movie to the end. And but yeah, he was, you know, he was an amazing man. He worked on the dam, you know, did a lot of the infrastructure.
The Shasta Dam.
I did a lot of infrastructure for PG&E with all the wires and everything. You know, that generation was amazing. They, from nothing, you know, dirt roads, you know, to what we have, you know.
So talking about a poor generation.
Right.
They had nothing,
nothing.
Joining the military because they were poor.
Right.
There was no other opportunity. They stepped up to the plate. They went to a world war. They beat three different fascists and dictators around the world. And then they came home and rebuilt the United States.
Right.
So you want to talk about poor people joining the military and having the opportunity to make a difference. You know, people don't know their heritage and they don't know their history. And sometimes they're just a bunch of whiners.
Yeah, and don't talk to me about it while you're drinking your $7 coffee either. I don't want to hear it. You know, we have We have history books for this stuff. You can see how it was all done. You can go to the dam and see how it was built. But, you know, these crybabies that are running around our country right now, you know, saying how oppressed they are. And, you know, and I'm not talking about a race of people. I'm talking about Americans in general. I don't care who you are. You are reaping the benefits of the blood, sweat, and tears of the people that came before you. And I don't care what color you were, white, black, green, purple, gold, whatever you were. You are reaping the benefits of those people. Respect them and give them their due respect, because this isn't up for a debate. You know, you can go out and you can see these roads, and you know, and people complain when there's a pothole. These men and women drove on dirt roads, you know, to get wherever they needed to go. They took, you know, trains from forever. My grandma took a train from North Dakota with her three younger sisters all the way to Washington. You know, I mean, that's how they got there. No parent involved. You know, it's like this, you know, it's insane. But that could be a different story, because that one's long. But, you know, what I wanted to touch on was, we got, you don't know. So my wife's grandpa died in 2012. He was with it. You could talk to him. You could have a normal conversation. He could remember dates and names and places. And when, you know, at 92 years old, you know, you think you have more time, but he's 92. You don't have more time, you know? And so, he was just gone. He just died, you know? So, but I wish I could have had more conversations with him and took more time, but I got to take him. My wife and I took him to the Veterans Museum, and we got to walk through, and I just, you know, I'd already been there a couple of times. So I just watched him, and I watched his reaction, and, talk about, you know, listening. You know, sometimes, you know, I was always told, listen twice as much as you talk.
Exactly.
But sometimes you can listen four or five times more than you talk, or don't talk at all. You know, just take in that time, you know. And pictures are great, but I hate taking pictures because I feel like it breaks up the moment, you know. But I do wish I had more pictures of that stuff. And, you know, but we got to walk through, you know, that museum. And again, I got to thank you for that. Like that, you know, people don't take the time for that stuff, and they don't, you know, they don't get to go, you know, through those things. And without the Veterans Museum, I wouldn't have got that chance. You know, my wife got to go through the dam with him, you know, before my time, you know, and so I would have loved to have done that with him too, you know, just to get that firsthand knowledge, you know, of what it was. And, you know, my time in the Navy too, when you're on these bases and the, you know, the mass size of them and the amount of, you know, things that are there and the amount of people that it takes to make it run, and the infrastructure and, you know, all of that that's involved. We built that, you know, we didn't inherit this. You know, when we came to this country, you know, from however we got here, you know, which everything seems to be a debate these days, but, you know, we built everything that was here. You know, yes, the Indians were here. We didn't discover it. It was already here. They were here. They knew about it. But everything about this country was built, you know, and it was built from great men and women, you know, period. And, you know, and it really, the fact that these Civil War monuments and these, you know, I mean, any monument at this point, right? Like everything, you know, they're willing to take everything
down.
They're
finding fault with anything.
And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it doesn't, you know, even their own ideologies, they're destroying their own ideology. They're destroying everything. And, you know, whether it needs to be in a museum or whatever, I don't see why, you know, why we can't have history. Because when you can see it and you can live it, and that will keep you from repeating it. You know, and there's just certain things we don't need to repeat. And the Civil War is one of the things we don't need to repeat, but it seems that some people may want to.
Well, the fighting in the street and everything else, that they're creating their own Civil War based on the original Civil War.
Yep.
We're going to be coming up on a break here, Ben, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows.
Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
First thing I did when that plane finally landed was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the booze finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, I don't know what it is, but you seem different to me. I said, I just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for. A land where our brothers are dying for others who don't even care anymore. If I'm not exactly
good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and I know what it's like to just come back from a war, and it's almost a shell shock coming back after being gone for a year in a foreign place where every time you open your eyes, you don't know where you're going to be at. Or I mean, I'm sure even there's times when you were on board ship that you woke up or out of a sound sleep or whatever else, and you, where the heck am I? I carried my 9mm on my chest every night that I slept. And most of the times, depending upon what was going on, I did sleep with my pants and my boots on. or whatever else in case I had to get up and run for whatever purpose to either to bunker or to take care of an issue or whatever else. You never really sleep. 24/7 you're on watch. And you're just constantly aware of your surroundings and things that take place. Sometimes the only time you sleep is that you are so exhausted you just can't keep your eyes open anymore. And especially where we were at, because we slept during the day because our convoy missions were at night and those helicopters were landing right next to us all day long next to Fallujah Surgical, bringing wounded and dead in. And most of them were Marines. And so... you come back, and I'm sure even from your service and your duty after coming back from, Westpac or whatever your duty was out there, and your whole mindset's changed, your attitude changed, your maturity level's changed, your self-discipline has changed, what you now know that you didn't know before has changed, you come back as a different person, and people that you go talk to, they say, yeah, you are different, you're not the same person, because you are not. You have been remolded by your experiences. You have been remolded by your training. All of those different things that the people that you work with are part of your molding process. Tell us what it's like to live on board an aircraft carrier with a full complement of 6,000 people.
Yeah. The words to that last song are pretty powerful because, you know, I think anybody that was in the military, you can definitely relate. You come back different. My mom said I came back different, you know. They called me Benji when I was a little kid, and I definitely didn't come back. You know, I was Ben for sure by the time I came back, which is sad because you do lose a little bit of that innocence, you know, when you see the reality of the world. I did med cruises. I didn't get to do a Westpac. I wish I could have. But that puts you in Europe, places like Turkey, Greece, Spain, Israel.
Sure.
I got to walk through Israel, which was incredible. Jerusalem and, you know, just... And then, you know, you see places like Turkey where they just roll, you know, their handicapped people out onto the street and they beg all day long. It's, it's sad. The world is a scary, scary place. And, so many people don't, you know, cause the Navy, they don't exactly bring us into the beautiful, you know, places.
Right.
So, you know, it's, they put you off, you know, some of the places aren't scared that it's a nuclear carrier. So they let you pull right up. Other places say, hey, you need to stay, you know, 300 yards off of our coast, you know,
like
that's going to matter
when it goes off. So, it's a done deal all over the world.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, that's cute. But so, you know, being on a carrier is, I'll never forget my first day, and I'll never forget my last day. You know, the first day, that was the biggest ship I'd ever seen in my life.
It's like 8 stories up and 8 stories down.
It's insane. You know, you're loading everything onto these huge elevators, you know, and you're putting your toolboxes on, and you're loading up everything, and then you go up to the flight deck, and, you know, it's huge. You know, there's no aircraft yet, you know, because you're just loading up everything. And then you pull out to sea, and then in a couple of days, all the aircraft come out, and you recover everything, and then it's just game on from there. You know, it's, you work 14-hour days, you get, you know, 10 off, you sleep, you go to the gym, which is tricky sometimes at sea, but the food's horrible, but it's better than any of the other services.
You didn't have any sand in there.
Right, yeah, I know. It's like, you know, I always feel bad talking to, you know, guys like you that have been in, you know, I'm like, man, the showers were either hot or
you
cold.
You didn't eat in the MREs, did you?
No.
Wait, you guys got never. Showers?
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Sometimes, you know, it's like you combat veterans should be in a different class than us. Sometimes it's, it's a little embarrassing talking about my,
you know, brother,
my
it's
hardships.
All good. It's all good. Everybody experiences it in a different way.
Right.
And it is, you know, we choose your rate, choose your fate.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. No,
so,
that's 100% true.
Yeah.
The CBs is where I should have went, though. That would have made more sense for me getting out and, you know, having a construction company, you know, and so, but, you know, your day to day, is the same every day. You know, you're either night shift or your day shift, and, your first cruise, you'll go on TAD, you'll do a 1, 2, or 3 month tour somewhere. I went to the galley, which was horrible. Literally the worst 3 months of my entire life. And then, you get done with that.
Makes
and then
you
go
appreciate
to
a lot of other things. Really,
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
at least
that,
you were young when that happened.
That week in boot camp that I went to the galley, I don't remember it. I don't remember getting there. I don't remember working there. I was exhausted the whole time.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm sure that was worse, but I don't remember it. And so, but it's funny because you talk about sleeping. I'm the world's worst sleeper. I sleepwalk. I do everything. You know, I was in my third day in boot camp. They teach you to throw your blanket over your head and, you know, because it's fireproof.
Right.
You know, because it's super comfy blankie that they give you. Right. So, in the middle of the night, I threw my blanket over my head and I was heading for the front door doing a fire drill, but I was the only one doing it, you know. And so the front watch he catches me and he's like, hey, you know, get back to your rack before you get kicked out, you know, because you can't sleepwalk in the Navy. They'll discharge you.
Right.
And so
yeah,
luckily,
right off the side of the carrier deck.
Right. Luckily he didn't say nothing, and I never really had any other issues until I got to the carrier, and then I was on the bottom bunk, which is about, you know, 18 inches of clearance, you know. And so I somehow, you know, we had sleeping bags and, you know, different things. Some of the old school hardcore guys still had their fireproof blanket, you know, which was funny to me because it wasn't required, you know. And so
old habits die hard.
Right. Yeah. And just make this as miserable as possible. But somehow I managed, one day I managed to turn around in my sleeping bag. And so I was dreaming that I was stuck in, you know, in an intake in a jet, you know, and I was freaking out, and my first class come over, grabs me, big, huge dude, and just dumps me out of my sleeping bag. And he's like, freaking stop acting like an idiot. And so I was like, oh crap, you know. And so, but, yeah, you know, it's like, but you're
yes,
in these, you're in these little cubicle type things, you know, and there's 12 racks, you know, there's three in the back corner, three in the front, and then, you know, on both sides. And, you know, sometimes if you get a top bunk, your second cruise, you can usually get a top bunk. You'll have some headroom. Other times you'll have, you know, fuel lines going over you or
right.
AC ducts going over you. We had AC ducts, but the AC never worked. So I don't know what they were for. You know, but so sometimes and then you'd have extra places to stash stuff. And then if you had a good spot, somebody older, you know, that was like higher rank than you would want to put a rug that they got from Turkey above your bed, you know, and you can't really say no. So, you know, anything good that happens to you, they'll take it from you. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, and so, but then you eventually become that guy, you know, and you get to take things from other people.
Right.
So yeah. You know, that's the goal.
Pecking order.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everything in the military is like, you know, get in line, you know, hurry up, get in line, hurry up, get in line, you know. And so every mule, you got to get
it's
in line.
Disneyland without the rights.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, but the flight deck, I absolutely took that for granted when I was doing it. You know, I got up there, my first cruise, I was on the line, in the line shack, and so that was rough because you're packing chains, you're tightening down jets. But I was only there for a month, and then I went to my shop. So you're washing jets, doing stuff like that. You know, I was always night shift, so which was really nice. But at first it's really scary. You know, you got goggles on, you can't hear. Jets are moving all over the place. It's an 85-foot fall to the water. And may or may not come get you, you know, if somebody sees you go.
They don't know you're overboard.
And so,
you're missing at mustard.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, they give you this little net that's like 3 feet down and like 3 feet wide that if a jet blows you, you're clearly missing that net.
Right.
You know,
you're way overboard.
Yeah. You're not hitting that net. And so, you know, and then we would wash jets, and for some reason they would just take them on the back of the boat, and they would hang the back of the jet
like, off the
back.
Right.
And then you got to get up there and you're soap and water and scrubbing. And it's like, why don't we do this in the middle of the boat? You know, it's like, why do we have to do this on the edge to where we die? You know, it's like, why does everything have to be like this? But you don't get to ask those questions. They tell you what to do and you do it, you know? And so, and, you know, it's, you know, and so it's just, you know, it's on and on like that. And then once you get to your shop, then, you get to do, you know, you get different, you know, you can get different, qualifications. And so I was safe for flight and final checker. So when you're watching Top Gun and you see the guy with his thumb in the air and then they're launching him off the carrier, you know, off the cats, that's what I did. And so,
that's awesome. I mean,
yeah,
you're right there in the action.
Yeah. The only bad thing is my ears never stop ringing.
Oh, yeah.
24/7.
Tinnitus.
So, yeah. And it's, you know, but I mean, I'm literally 5 feet from afterburner, you know, and it shakes your entire body. And, you know, and it launches off and you smile and you get up and do it again every time.
Ben, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The coronavirus pandemic has caused our nation's blood supply to drop dangerously low. You can help end this shortage by giving blood. Giving blood is a safe, life-saving activity that's easy and painless. Trust me, I'm a 7-gallon donor myself. Visit lamalfa.house.gov/giveblood to find the blood donation center nearest you. Your donation could save a life. Paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
In a quiet, dusty morning, when the moon has bowed its head, when the blackhawks stop their singing, and the sky is clear red, when the desert sees its gleaming, when the boy man's past its prime, when adventure's lost its meaning, I'll be homeward bound this time. Send me not on convoy missions, send me not on long-drawn strolls, send me free to find my calling, and I'll return to home with foes. If you find this time I'm missing, I hope it's me you're searching for. This time it seems forever until my eyes somehow reach home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Ben Fuller, United States Navy Air Wing, and we've been talking about Tomcats and talking about service and duty on the aircraft carrier. We never talked about which aircraft carrier you were on at the time you were working, doing that duty. We have several of them or just that
two,
one?
Two. So you do a couple little workups, Comtrax 2 months, and then, so my first carrier was the Roosevelt. Yeah, which, you know, all of them have a certain, you know, amount of, you know, respect and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But, I was on the Roosevelt, which was an older carrier, but it was a little bit more updated. So it wasn't too bad. It was laid out nicely. Everything, fit right. Then we did a 6 month cruise, it was a med cruise. So that one, I have 15 different ports. So 15, you know, different places we got to go. It was like a carnival cruise. It was great. I thought that's what the Navy was all about, right? So I'm like, this was a great move. You know, got to see all these places. That's when I got to go to, Israel and, you know, the different places. But, my second cruise was on the Enterprise, which is actually the carrier that Top Gun was filmed on. And it was a mess. There's eight nukes on that instead of four like the rest. So it was the very first nuclear carrier. So
it was antiquated.
Yeah. And, you know, the layout was just weird. Everything was weird about it. You were lost all the time. Wow. You know, yeah. Where on the Roosevelt, everything was, you know, forward to aft. It was real. The layout was great. The Enterprise, it just felt like they just put stuff wherever.
It was a Winchester house.
Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely was. And so, but on the Enterprise, we had some stuff happen. You know, it was like, and it kind of had a reputation for that. But, we got hit by another ship, which you're like, really? But we were doing
a tender or?
No, it was just part of the fleet. And, it was the Leyte Gulf was what it was called. I'm not exactly positive what it did.
The Leyte Gulf is a gator freighter, so it's a LHA.
Yeah.
It's a landing helicopter or assault.
Exactly.
So it was full of Marines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
that was the problem.
Yeah, it was just like the Bonhomme Richard, which just burned up down in San Diego.
I'm guessing the Marines were in charge that night.
Yeah.
We were going by the stars, you know, because we still do that, I guess. But so lights out on both ships. We were going
whatever happened
forward.
To radar.
Right. They shut everything off, you know, and so, you know, because it's all about training,
right.
You know, so, yeah, so then we had to train on how not to do this in the future. But, yeah, we were going forward, and then all of a sudden we put it in reverse, and we were backing up, and they were in our wake, following.
You were in the middle of the ocean going backwards?
Yeah, and they were following our wake, following the same star, apparently, and we ran into them, or they ran into us. I don't know how that works exactly, but they, because of the design of a carrier, you know, the point, and then kind of goes out, you know, they kind of hit, and then we just destroyed them. Like, we just ripped the whole side of the ship, you know, down.
Lucky you sink them right there.
Right. Well, we're so tall, we kind of got the top part of it, you know, so we did end up bending a screw. And so we were stuck for a while.
How do you change a screw in the middle of the
ocean? Yeah, that's not my job.
Yeah,
so
20 tons of bronze.
But the one, this was a part of another thing, but I got to watch, the SEAL team wasn't on board at that time. So one of the EOD divers went down and checked it all out, and there was a shark that kept swimming around the ship, and we're watching it. And then all of a sudden you see this guy come up on the flight deck. And he's just geared out, like ready to go in the water. And we're literally looking at the shark, looking at this guy, you know, and he has a knife. And he jumps in. this guy could have went to the fantail. He jumped off the flight deck. Like, you know.
80 feet above the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And
with
so,
full gear.
Yeah. And so I'm like, done. That's what I want to do. And so,
no fear or no brains. No,
yeah. And yeah, the no brains part I had. So like, it was amazing to me. It was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen, you know, and like, he's like, I got a knife. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. But so he went down and did all that, you know, so that was one of them. And then, you know, we were talking about, you know, this on, a break, but we had a night, where one of the main lights on the landing area was out, and it would shine to the very front of the landing area. And it was out, so the CEO of the ship okayed us to do flight ops, because you can't miss flight ops. Like, it's a no-go. And so an S3 came in and landed, and the six pack was full. Where you bring jets off of the landing area, it was a weird night. And so there, you know, everybody.
So an S3 is a type of fighter.
An S3 is a refueler.
Oh, it's a refueler.
Yeah.
And they call them little gulpers, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I've been at North Island, San Diego, and watched those suckers land, and they on landing approach, they actually the engine do an air bubble. It sounds like a large gulp.
Yep.
The weirdest things you ever hear.
Yep.
But yeah, I didn't realize that they didn't have any armament on them.
No. And then. So it was in the front of the landing area, and then an EA-6B, the deck was cleared. He didn't do anything wrong, but the EA-6B, which is, it's like a jammer. It could come
circular
like two
radar
yeah,
on top.
Two, no. That's I can't remember what those were called.
So this one with the twin tail?
No, it's got a single tail, but it's just a jammer. So two of them could take out all the power in San Francisco.
Wow.
That, you know, so that's basically their job. They're more of like a reconnaissance type of, you know, plane. And so it came in and it landed on top of the S3. And, I was in the line shack at the time and we're waiting for our jets to come back. And the line shack was just one set of stairs down. So like 4 feet off of the deck. And, you know, so we saw it happen. So we jumped up to run out there and, you know, when we're fighting our way to get on the deck, I mean, and there's flames everywhere and these things, you know, and guys are running off the deck. And this was one of those moments. And I'm sure you had a lot of these where you know, you're one of two people. You're either the fight or the flight, and you don't really know who you are until that situation comes. But we're fighting people to get on the deck to fight this fire because where are you going to go?
Right.
You're in the middle of the ocean, you know, and, you know, so we get up there and, you know, and it's a long story. And, unfortunately, you know, the air crew and the S3 died. The air crew and the A6B were both recovered. But it's, you know, it was a sad situation, but it was one of those where, you know, we're not at war. We're not loaded with ordnance. We're not anything. We're just doing flight offs. And it just goes to show you how dangerous this is. Not one person on the deck was hurt except for one guy that tripped over the wire, going to the back, to the aft of the ship, and he kind of smashed up his face a little bit.
The aircraft carrier is the most dangerous real estate in the entire world and in the entire military.
Absolutely.
Because of flight ops and everything that's going on. There's so many moving functions and everything else. Ben, we have a caller, David, who's called in. Good morning, David.
Oh, hey, morning. You know, I think I heard part of the reason why they're so dangerous is there's so much hazardous waste on them. You know, just trying to keep it clean. You know, got living in, what do they used to call it, indoor pollution. And so you got to, you breathe in all this God, you're so deep down in there.
There's so much air. A Motel 6 has more hazardous waste in it than the aircraft carrier did. The Navy is very strong about keeping maintenance in those berthings.
Well,
very,
I'd
very strong about that.
Yeah. You know, that's probably why, who was it, the Roosevelt's captain was appreciated because you're going to be on a long tour with that. And besides that, it's a nuclear power plant. So, my God, you know, what could go wrong with it? Hey, well, you know, the reason I called, I heard the other day that the Air Force was being used. These probably the National Guard. You know, they're going down and helping with the medical operations. And trying to think if that was San Diego or it was one of the cities. And I'm just wondering if you know about, you know, maybe some of the listeners want to sign up, you know, get involved, because this COVID thing is nothing to, what are they saying, the infection rate is over 30% in the state of Florida. They figure Florida's a lost cause at 30% infection.
So what were you recommending that they sign up for?
Well, you know, part of the trouble with this whole thing was, like, when the epidemic broke out in China, the World Health Organization owned the patents on the testing, and so there was no charge. You know, it was like they were 7 cents apiece to test people.
Right.
People didn't have to stand in line for 3 days in their car and, you know, wait, and then wait 2 weeks for results. China had a World Health Organization patented test that, you know, public domain patent, It's not owned by anybody that can make money on it. It's owned by the people.
Sure.
And so, you know, they were able to get people tested. They knew what buildings were infected. They knew what streets were infected. They targeted those areas that were especially bad, you know, made sure everything calmed down and the whole thing got resolved.
Well, Dave, we're coming up on a break right here. You always seem to call right at the end of the break. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be right back. We've been talking with Ben Fuller of the United States Navy and his sea service. And as we move forward, we'll talk a little bit more about that. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Wind River Resort and Casino invite you to come explore our exciting table games to see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our knowledgeable, friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. With 13 table games and a variety of limits for players at every level, we'll make each gaming experience better than your last. More games, more ways to win, more fun. No one else in town offers this. All the table games details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now live. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products to keep our community safe. We offer contactless social distancing, and we're sanitized staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, a part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported law enforcement, fire, and disasters this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. The Backbone Brew, 3 Hilltop.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. Coming home after your duty, been around the world, wherever it is, whether you're in the fight or not in the fight, the danger zones. coming home, whether you're landing, whether you're waiting for the ship to port, to finally come in the dock and for you to be released from duty, the expectations that you've completed your mission and you're home, and by the time you step off the aircraft, I mean, I know that on our way back from Iraq, the aircraft broke down twice. So we had to stop in East Germany, and we also, and then finally we made it back to the United States again, Gulfport, Mississippi. You couldn't let your shoulders down until you were on American soil because you hadn't landed yet. You've seen so many things. We tried to leave Fallujah 7 times. It was reaction, or there were 2 full there, 7 times to God at our base from. We in up that entire window. Night of expectations. We're going to get, the first 2 days were great. That day is like, here, we got to be here another day. We got to be here another day. We still have to be here another day. You wait at the base until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., windows closed for aircraft, and you have to go back. Now, somebody else has taken your hooch because you transferred to another team, and that team's now got this job. So now you're sleeping, or you're sleeping on the floor, or you're sleeping in a Connex box. Slept everywhere. We first slept in the Fallujah morgue. Still smell the formaldehyde, urine, and things that went on in there. I mean, we slept in places that nobody else would ever sleep in. I don't know if you've ever slept in a morgue for 2 weeks.
No.
Let me tell you, that's quite an experience.
No.
And I've been there and done that. You were talking about coming home. So you've done your duty. Now you're coming back, your med tour, or from any, you know, you're like everyone in your nation, you've done your duty, and now the expectations of coming home and then starting your business and things like that. We want to talk about your construction business a little bit and what you're doing now in our community. So talk a little bit about coming home.
Yeah. Once again, you just kind of one-upped me on my what we did. So on cruise, when you come back, they do this thing called the Tiger Cruise where you can bring family out. My first cruise, I didn't have anybody come out. I didn't really know about what was going on. I didn't really line up anybody. So you just kind of do your job until the end. And then they do this kind of cool air show. They drop bombs in the water. You shoot the 50 cal, break the sound barrier. An F-14 will break the sound barrier right off of, you know, right off the Fantail, which is pretty amazing, you know, to see it. Yeah. Yeah. And so, so we do that. And then, you know, and after that's over, they all fly back to the base. And then you got a couple days of downtime with really nothing to do. So you try to catch up on your sleep, pack up, get ready to pull into port, you know, and then, as soon as you see that dirty water in Virginia Beach, you know, coming into Norfolk, you know you're almost home. The water goes from a beautiful blue to a nice shade of brown.
Stirring up all that muck.
Yeah, and then, that you didn't do enough for the last 6 months, they make you get in your dress whites and then go stand on the side of the ship to kind of show you off to, you know, to everybody. So you come through and it's cool. My second cruise though, my dad got to come out, and that was pretty amazing. He was the only one to get to sit in an F-14. I didn't know they weren't allowed to, so I put him up there, and then I got in trouble. But we got him out of there. Everything was fine. He didn't steal any secrets or anything.
Was
it
easier to ask forgiveness or permission?
Yeah, always easier to ask forgiveness. I got to experience that with him, and I got to see, you know, he was proud of me, you know, and he was proud of us, and he was proud of what, you know, we got to see. And then, you know, my family was there when my grandma and my mom, you know, were on the dock when we pulled in. And, you know, it was cool. It was definitely a much better experience than, you know, showing up, grabbing your sea bag, getting on a bus, trying to go back, then find berthing, find everything, you know. So, we got back and we, it was definitely a sense of pride. When you're young, you don't really understand what you're doing and the impact of it. I've always said, you know, when you're in your 30s and 40s and 50s, you look back on your military career, and I think you become a little bit more proud of it. That last caller kind of hit on some stuff. Number one, China's a communist country. We have nothing in common with them. We will never have anything in common with them. So any way that they handle anything, any way that they see anything, any way that they do anything, we don't do things that way. We never will. It's very easy when you control your people 100% to get them to do whatever you want to do. So any comparison there is just kind of lost with me. The cleanliness of the ship is second to none. It's a gigantic ship with a bunch of guys on it. You would think it would be pretty dirty. It's not. It's immaculate everywhere you go. The Roosevelt the carrier that I was on was the carrier that had the COVID outbreak. The CEO of that ship was relieved. I believe he was reinstated. I didn't really follow back up with it, but yeah, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. We always want to say, yeah, you follow orders no matter what, but when your guys' lives are at stake, you know, you do what you do. The way that it was handled was probably wrong, but that's not my call. The thing about the military is we're not political. We do a job. You're sent out there. You do what you're told. There is no questions. There's no anything because there's people above you that know the way that things are supposed to be done. And when you start questioning people, people get killed. That's not how we work. And that's not, you know, the way that we work. So I think that's when, a lot of veterans come home and, you know, you're put into these situations where you're asked questions and, you know, people want you to have an opinion on things. A lot of times we don't line up with civilians because, a lot of times just the perfect world scenario is not
– there's no such thing.
That's not a possibility.
We've seen the imperfect world.
Right. And we know, you know, we know what's good and we know what's bad. And we, you know, and the day that I have to concede to the fact that the United States is bad, that'll be a bad day. You know, we're a good country. We're built with good people. We're a God-fearing country that's how this country was built. You start taking God out of it, I do see the downfall to that, you know. So, but other than that, that call threw me off a little bit, you know, and so I don't know. What were we going to talk about in this last little section?
Well, you come back, you've been out of the military now for what, 20 years?
Yeah,
21 years.
I would be collecting that check.
Yeah, it just, you know, and it doesn't go away. I'm sure there's times like with myself that you wake up at a certain experience and just like you were there yesterday.
Yeah.
Or something happened this morning and it was like you were on ship or in your duty station in the morning and now you're just reliving it or experiencing that in the afternoon. Those things don't go away. It's a part of your life forever, and that's right. Part of that pride and that service and that heritage and what we carry with us the rest of our life. And that's why those who have served for freedom take and respect freedom in a different way from those who have never served for freedom or sacrificed.
Absolutely.
And so we look at it with a totally different set of vision, a totally different set of eyes, a totally different set of ears. We hear things they don't, and we see things that they don't because we were trained to look for those things
right.
That are danger zones, whether it be physical or whether it be national.
Right, right.
You know, Ben, you're running a business now. You've got Ben Fuller Construction. And I mean, obviously you weren't construction when you were in the Navy, but you are now. And just that transition coming back and serving, now you're serving in the Cottonwood community. And tell us a little bit about that. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, it's, you know, I got a call from you and you had some bathroom work you needed done. And I was grateful to be able to help. It's a labor of love. There's two ways to run a construction business. You can either be cutthroat. You can hire a bunch of people. You can get in with the state. You can do whatever. You can make a ton of money, or you can stay small and you could, you know, you can help your community. I'm getting ready to roof the shack. The snack shack at the Cottonwood Little League Park, and I'm excited about it. You know, it's a free job. I'll pay for all the material, I'll do everything, but you get a chance to give back. A lot of my, you know, I've had my business for 14 years now, and a lot of my stuff is people that call me and they're like, hey, we don't have that much money and we can't find anybody that can do it. Can you do it? And absolutely, I can do it. You know, I would rather help. I'd rather do jobs for free than get paid for them. I'm not the best business.
That's kind of how I run
person,
the museum,
right? Yeah.
Pay.
You know, I like we were saying, I think both of us are just sitting around waiting for a philanthropist to come by, you know, that has a ton of money and we can just go help people. So if you're out there listening, give us a call so we could spend your money nicely.
Right. Well, that phone number for the museum, however you want to make it happen, that's 378-2280. We're constantly – I mean, we haven't had any fundraisers since the first of the year.
Right, and we need to fix
really,
that.
It's really, really tight.
Yeah, we need to fix that. We need to – the local businesses need to step up. We need to fund things like this. It needs to be community first. These bigger organizations that are going right now that have three letters in them, people are sending money to that, but we need to spend money local. We need to support local businesses, local people. Thank you very much, Rob, for your time
today.
Ben,
I'm going to have you come back. It was a great program. Thank you for your service to our nation. And we're going to do this again because I love having you on.
I love it. Thank you.
You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. Thank you for listening.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.